Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this service of worship, and welcome to all our radio listeners, too. I'm happy to be back. Had a great trip to California. It is warm out there. It did rain one day. Just wanted to make you feel better about that. Got my granddaughter graduated and had a good time. And I've been instructed that I think there's still a couple of poinsettias back there. If you would like one, please take it. The first two or three people that get there will get them. I think we're trying to move along and get ready for the next season. And now let us join together in our call to worship. Please stand if you are able, and let us read responsively. Come, all who seek God's love.
Come
if you are weary or hurt or afraid.
Come if you are busy or content or fearless.
Come, God calls us together.
God calls us in love.
Now let us sing our hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to read from Samuel 3:1-11. Samuel served the Lord by helping Eli the priest, who was by that time almost blind. In those days, the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and he did not appear to them in dreams very often. But one night, Eli was sleeping in his room, and Samuel was sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest in the Lord's house. They had not been asleep very long when the Lord called out Samuel's name. "Here I am," Samuel answered. Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" "I didn't call you," Eli answered. "Go back to bed." Samuel went back. Again, the Lord called out Samuel's name. Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "What do you want?" Eli told him, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." The Lord had not spoken to Samuel before, and Samuel did not recognize the voice. When the Lord called out his name for the third time, Samuel went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel, so he said, "Go back and lie down. If someone speaks to you again, answer, 'I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do?'" Once again, Samuel went back and lay down. The Lord then spoke beside Samuel and called out as he had done before, "Samuel, Samuel." "I am listening," Samuel answered. "What do you want me to do?" The Lord said, "Samuel, I'm going to do something in Israel that will shock everyone who hears about it."
Our anthem this morning is an extension of the prayer and our dream that we will live together in peace and overcome all the differences that we have.
We shall overcome.
story of 1 and 2 Samuel is actually a combination of the stories of Hannah, Eli, Samuel, and David. But don't get worried, I'm not going to preach sermons on all of them. The stories of these faithful lives are clustered around the year 1000 BC, which is the millennial midpoint between the call of Abraham and the birth of Jesus. Abraham being called about 1,000 years earlier, and Jesus being born about 1,000 years later. These lives are important lives because these people live in the largeness of God. They are not bound by their culture or their psychological dynamic. They believe in God, and they experience what it means to truly trust in God always. God is the country in which they live. These are not stories to simply admire and think, oh, those were biblical folks. We cannot be as they were. Rather, they are immersions into the actual business of living itself. They show us what it means to be human. Reading and praying our way through stories such as Samuel, we finally get it and realize that's what it means to be a woman or man who has to do work on our relationship with God. This story of Samuel authenticates the reality of our human experience as the stuff that God uses to work out God's purposes of salvation in us and in the world. If we want a life that is more other than mere biology, we must deal with our relationship with God. One of the many welcome consequences in learning to read our lives in the lives of Hannah and Samuel is a sense of affirmation and freedom. We don't have to fit into prefabricated moral, mental, or religious boxes before we are admitted into the company of God. We are taken seriously just as we are, and given a place in God's story. It is God's story. We are not the leading characters in the story of our lives. It is God's story. The biblical way is to tell a story and invite us into that story, to live life in a similar way. The Bible is saying, this is what it looks like to be human. This is what is involved into maturing into human beings. As we submit our lives to what we read, we find that we are not being led to see God in our stories, but to see our stories in God's. Samuel and Eli frame this story this morning. Hannah is not present here. As a barren woman, she prayed incessantly and faithfully to God for a child. Her promise to God was that the son she might be given back to God in service for God. And Hannah kept her promise, taking Samuel, whom she loved greatly, to the temple to learn from Eli the priest. It's a fascinating story of faithfulness on Hannah's part, and her life celebrates the power of God to answer prayer and to initiate salvation. She describes the power of God as radical reversals in life by recounting God's power to make a barren woman pregnant. We note that in the story of Samuel and Eli, there are also role reverses. By the end of the story, Samuel, who is still a mere boy, tells God's truth to Eli. Eli seems to be a weak character who has allowed his sons to live shabby lives. However, even through the ambiguity, God's light has not left Eli. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. And that's a familiar grouping of words in the Old Testament. The lamp of God has not yet gone out. Eli is still a priest of God and faithful to God, no matter what the consequences. We read that Samuel was going to sleep in the temple, a boy, an apprentice. He hadn't yet learned how to listen to God. He hadn't yet formed a relationship with God. So when he hears a voice, he naturally thinks it was Eli and goes to him. When this happens over and over again, Eli realizes that he must teach Samuel how to listen to God. Since Eli knew that he himself hadn't called the boy, therefore, it must be God calling, trying to get Samuel's attention. It was time for Samuel to learn about a relationship with God that will reveal God's call on his life and Samuel's participation in God's reality of living. Eli's tutoring of Samuel allows this revelation to take place. This connection with God, however, is a judgment against Eli. The judgment is so severe that the ears of anyone who hears it will actually tingle. Can you imagine that? There are other places in the Old Testament that talk about when someone hears hard news, their ears tingle. God is once again absent in the conclusion of this story. The relationship between Eli and Samuel seems unchanged. But Samuel is afraid to give Eli God's message. It's not good news. Eli exerts his authority by invoking a personal curse on the boy if he neglects to tell the truth. It's important for Samuel to know that delivering God's message is the way to live in God's reality, not the world's reality. Thus, Samuel capitulates and tells the priest of his downfall. Eli is given the final words of this exchange before he exits the story altogether, signifying the reversal of the roles between he and Samuel. How difficult learning this lesson must have been for Samuel, yet how revealing. This kind of complicates our understanding of divine action, doesn't it? It shows that biblical characters live in the gray and ambiguous areas of life just as we do. The real challenge of confessing God's power is when it may cause our own downfall. Samuel knew that particular point when later in life he is also in Eli's place and has to hear some tough news. The disciples, in responding to Jesus' call, which was also a call from God, found their response called them to a life that was not popular in their culture either. This way of living is still true today. Martin Luther King Jr. discovered that same reality when called on by God to take a stand that would cause his own physical downfall, but lead our nation to a new understanding of justice for all. We celebrate that life this week and remember the courage it took for him to speak for God. It's difficult for me to realize that it was 50 years ago that all that took place. And we still struggle in some places today. Yet his courage lives on in the lives of so many people this day. So where are we in our reading of this story? Where are we in our relationship with God? We are being given an invitation to personal involvement by our scripture reading this morning. Today is Human Relations Sunday. You have that little packet in your bulletin. What does that mean for each one of us? Are we listening to God's call on our lives? Are we ready to come and see, as Jesus said? Is there justice in our families? What about justice in our workplaces or in our groups of friends? Where do we need to listen to God's voice and then speak out for God's reality? Well, Samuel grew up. God was with him. And Samuel's prophetic record was flawless. Everyone in Israel recognized that Samuel was the real thing, a true prophet of God. Martin Luther King Jr. grew up, and God was with him. His prophetic record was flawless. Everyone in the United States and around the world recognized that Martin Luther King Jr. was the real thing, a true prophet of God. Nelson Mandela grew up, and God was with him. His prophetic record was flawless, even though he spent much of his life in jail. Everyone in South Africa and around the world recognizes that Mandela was the real thing, a true prophet of God. Mother Teresa grew up. God was with her, and her prophetic record was flawless. Everyone in India and around the world recognized that Mother Teresa was the real thing, a prophet of God. Could we put our own name in there? We have all grown up. Well, most of us anyway. Sometimes I wonder about myself. But what is our prophetic record? Is it flawless? Maybe. Is God calling us in the mundane everydayness of our lives to do something of justice and kindness or loving that would be different? Each of the persons I've discussed this morning lived in community, from Samuel right down to Mother Teresa. All lived in a community that gives support for those to live lives with God and the largeness of God. That's the beauty of community, and that's the reason to be in community. The disciples of John the Baptist were nurtured in community, and some of these men became disciples of Jesus. All the folks who speak for God today come out of a nurturing community, and that's why we gather here as we have this morning, to continue to build this community in which folk may be nurtured and grow. In community, we are shown the support needed to reach out and find new ways to live. In community, we are able to ask questions about God and learn new ways to listen to God. We are supported in our search for a new relationship with God, and we have a place to bring our revelations about God. Like Samuel, we are able to grow into living in God that brings more justice to this area and to the entire world. May we continue to be that community for each other. May we come and see, and once seeing, keep our eyes wide open, looking for what God is about in this world. May we continue to hear God's call and God's nudges on our own lives. May it be so. Amen. And now let us sing our hymn, The Summons.
You are. go forth to answer God's call, however it may come. Go forth in peace and love. Amen.
This has been God is Calling with Pastor Mary Martin from January 18th, 2015. Mary shares stories of several notable figures in Scripture. She explains, the biblical way is to tell a story and to invite us into that story to live life in a similar way. We come to see our story in God, whose modern-day stories might also serve to inspire us. What do our stories tell?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.